take your Bibles again and go back to Revelation 12. And we're just going to look at verse 12, a couple other verses around that. Then we will go back to Genesis, the third chapter, Revelation 12 and verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Title of the message this morning, The Devil is Come. The devil is come. Very, very clearly in the Scripture, this portion of Scripture is about the tribulation. And the Bible says that the devil in verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. And, you know, in heaven they're rejoicing, it says in verse 12. But boy, he says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Why? The devil is come down unto you. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need today. I pray especially for those that maybe are here and they're not saved. I pray today would be the day they would trust Christ and be saved. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. It says here, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. I'm just going to go back to Genesis 3 and just show you one instance of the devil coming. And you know, wherever the devil is, woe to the inhabitants thereof. Wherever the devil is, there's woe that takes place. And I give you this warning, wherever the devil is and wherever his influence is, look out. It's not a good situation, as it will be in the tribulation time. And I believe that may be very, very soon. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe to the people that are there. Woe to those that are around his influence. It is not a good thing. Anywhere the devil is, it's not a good place to be. Any time his influence is there, it's not a good situation. Certainly in our world today, we see the devil's influence all around us. But I want to show you from Genesis chapter 3, and go ahead and turn there. I want to show you very, very clearly just some things about the devil. And you know, every time I prepare to preach about the devil, he gets very, very upset. And all kinds of problems take place, and it has been that way throughout this week. It has been one of those kind of weeks, and it's funny. Steve Holzer, one of our shepherds, he's my buddy. He came up to me today in about every service. He says, "What are you preaching on?" And I said, "Well, Steve, you know," and Steve, with Steve, he always remembers Vacation Bible School and remembers the devil, and he always said, "Well, that devil's going to be mad." But today I said, "Well, Steve, I'm preaching about the devil," and he went, "Oh, he's really going to be mad." And you know, that is exactly right. And I want him to be mad. In fact, I hope everything we do makes him mad. I hope the teen activity yesterday made him mad. I hope that our soul winning, we had people saved this week. That, I know that made him mad. And I trust that your life makes him mad as well. And because that's what we need to do. But wherever he is, whenever he comes, whenever he's involved in anything, woe to the people that are there. Woe to the people. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, everything's perfect. Everything's wonderful. It could not be better. Adam and Eve, their marriage is wonderful. Adam and Eve's relationship with God is perfect. I mean, everything is going well in the Garden of Eden. But the Bible says in chapter 3 and verse 1, it starts off with, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." And so the devil is come. The devil is come. And the devil came and influenced that serpent. And we'll talk about that in a minute. The devil has come to the United States of America. The devil, his influence is seen all around us. And there's no question about that. The devil has come. 100 to 200 million Americans are involved in some form of black magic or devil worship today, right now. The real start of devil worship was June 6th, 1966, when a man named Anton LaVey started the First Church of Satan. Notice June 6, 6, 6 of 66. He knows what he's doing. He knew what he was doing. The mark of man, the mark of the beast, 666, and started the First Church of Satan in where else? San Francisco. By the way, it's no accident. San Francisco is one of the most wicked, godless places in all of America. I mean, it's not an accident. I mean, the First Church of Satan started there. And they say that the Satanic Bible, which was written by him or influenced a lot by him, in our colleges today is outselling the Bible. That's our future. And Satan is real and he is alive today, and his influence is seen throughout our nation, in our country. Oh, you'll hear people say, America is a Christian country. But I'm sorry, folks, it is not a Christian country. It is very, very influenced by Satan, who the Bible calls the prince of the power of the air. Again, no accident. Television, radio, the internet, all over the air. And his influence is, it is seen so clearly in our country today. But we see it here, and we can look at it and just dissect really what it is that this influence is. If the devil's come, what's he going to do, and what does he do? And certainly, the Bible's clear about that. Adam and Eve are in the garden with God. Everything is going wonderful, and Satan is out to ruin it all. By the way, God enjoys our fellowship. God wants us to worship Him. God enjoys a time that we spend with Him and fellowship. And here Satan hates that. And he is doing everything he can to put an end to that. You need to realize, folks, Satan hates you and he hates your family. He wants lost people to go to hell. He wants saved people never to tell anyone about heaven. He wants saved people never to do anything for God. He wants saved people like Adam and Eve to get involved in sin, so that when God comes and says, hey, I want to talk to you, they'll hide and try to cover up because they have sinned against God. And I wish you could just see today the character of Satan, because the devil's come. He's come. His influence is very real. His influence is very real in many lives. I want to show you some things about him today from our passage here in Genesis. Number one, he is determined. He is determined. Back in Revelation 12:12, it says during the tribulation, he has just a short time. A short time. You know, much of what Satan does, you can tell he is very determined. He doesn't waste a lot of time. I mean, he came right to Eve as soon as he saw joy in the Garden of Eden, as soon as he saw happiness in the Garden of Eden, as soon as he saw peace in the Garden of Eden. Boy, he's right there, and he's influencing a serpent to try and disrupt all of that. Do you know that as soon as he sees joy in a home, he'll be right there trying to disrupt it? As soon as he sees peace in the Christian's life, he'll be right there trying to disrupt it. As soon as he sees some happiness in a family, he'll be right there trying to disrupt it. He's always trying to disrupt the things that God made for us to be beautiful for us, to be wonderful. Satan, he's determined. He's right there. And there he was with Adam and Eve. Everything's going wonderful. Boy, he's determined. He doesn't waste a lot of time. People get saved. You lead somebody to Christ, and it's amazing how, I mean, just, and always, anymore, I just warn them, say, hey, you know, as soon as we leave, or as soon as you go out of church, and you've trusted Christ, and you know, the devil's going to come after you. And he's going to tempt you. And he's going to do everything he can to disrupt the good peace that you have. That, hey, I got saved. I trusted Christ. He's going to try to get you to sin. And then he's going to condemn you for the sin. I mean, he is wicked. He's vile. But he is determined. He's determined to see people go to hell. He is determined. Now you say, well, how does it help him? It doesn't really help him, but it hurts God. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants. He is determined to send lost people to hell. And he'll do everything he can to muddy up the gospel. He'll do everything he can to keep you quiet. He'll do everything he can to silence our preaching. He'll do everything he can to keep us from giving out tracts. He'll do everything he can to shut down our bus routes. He'll do everything he can to close off soul winning. Why? Because he wants lost people to go to hell. Right. He doesn't care how they get there. He just wants them to go there. And then he's also determined to see Christians backslidden and out of fellowship with God. Why? Because he wants God to be hurt. You know, it's amazing how we somehow think, well, he's just harmless. And by the way, we've been led to believe all that stuff by Hollywood and comic books and everything else. The devil is the devil. And there's nothing good about the word devil. There's nothing positive about it. I don't care what movie you watched. I don't care what you saw. It's very clear in Scripture. He is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And my friend, being devoured isn't a fun little game. He's determined. Number two, he's dangerous. I just quoted part of 2 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, by the way, your adversary, he's not on your side. He hates you. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I mean, he's looking for lives to devour. He's looking for homes to devour. Do you think that he's thrilled at our divorce rate in America today. I mean, the devil, he thinks that's wonderful. The divorce rate. I'm not talking about just among everybody. I'm talking about among Christians. I mean, he thinks it's wonderful. Oh, let me tell you something. He's not only determined, he's dangerous. He's dangerous. You know, one of the main dangers about the devil is so many don't even really believe he exists. So many just kind of bury their head in the sand and think, oh, well, you know, people just do bad and there's no... Let me tell you, there is a real devil that is out to get you and your family and to ruin your life. And we need to believe he's there. We need to know that he's there. He is very, very dangerous. You know, another reason he's dangerous, not just because so many don't... And I guarantee there's somebody sitting here saying, oh, well, you know, we don't have to worry about that. You go ahead and keep your head in the sand, and just like a roaring lion, he will devour you. And that's exactly what he wants. But another reason he's dangerous is because he's wounded. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, that bruised him. Jesus dying on the cross made a way. Do you understand? All men. I mean, Satan wants all men to go to hell. But Jesus made it possible so all men wouldn't have to. I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
Why? Because I got saved. How? Because I trusted Jesus as my Savior. How? Because he died on a cross to pay for my sin. He paid the price. He did it on his own because he loves me, for God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son. And I can be saved and you can be saved. Nobody has to go to hell. Nobody has to. And the devil hates that. Absolutely hates that. Oh yeah, he's wounded. He's wounded. And you know, they say the most dangerous animal is a wounded animal. Very, very dangerous. And you know, when it's because he's wounded, he has nothing to lose. And I mean, that's why he does not play fair at all. Dirty and nasty. The Bible in Revelation, the verse that we read, it talks about him being the accuser of the brethren. I mean, you think sometimes, well, you know, the devil's on my side. The devil understands. No, the devil hates you and is trying to destroy you. He will tempt you to sin. When you sin, he'll accuse you to God, blame you to God, want you to be punished by God, and he just thinks that's all wonderful. He's the accuser of the brethren. You know, all he wants is to make our lives, wherever there's misery, the devil's very happy. Wherever there's confusion, the devil's very happy. Wherever there's sorrow and pain, the devil is very happy. I'm amazed that anyone would ever start a church like the first church of Satan. What a miserable existence. And would ever write a satanic Bible. Again, what a miserable existence. Oh, but you say there's power in that. And that's why he's so dangerous. Because there is. There is. I've had people say, well, you know, the devil's real. And of course, you don't have to convince me, but they say, you know, I did one of those Ouija boards one time. And, you know, that's not a gimmick. There is no trick. Well, you say, preacher, what moves that thing? What do you think moves that thing? So what makes it good? Amen. Boy, we love it though, don't we? Huh? I'll hear teenagers talk about, well, you know, yeah, but I think this is really neat. We did one of those levitation things, and somebody was floating, and boy, and what do you suppose was holding them up? Hello? What? I mean, think about this now. You say, well, but that's cool. There's nothing cool about that. And if you saw the demonic beings that are doing that, and they had their cold, icy, deaf fingers upon you, you would say, you know, I'm not sure I want to be around that. But you invite it. Seances, it's all real. There's nothing. You know, I mean, I know there's some fakes out there and all that, but much of this stuff is real, satanic. Stay away from it, Christian. Stay away from it if you want. Look, if you want your life to be miserable, you'll get involved in that kind of stuff. But if not, you'll stay away. He's dangerous. He's dangerous. We've got young people playing games like Dungeons and Dragons, and I realize that's old now, but there's stuff out there now that is so satanic, it is obvious, and we just bury our heads in the sand. You say, yeah, but there's power in that. But it's the wrong power. It's not a good power. It's not the right power. God says for the Christian, ye shall receive power. What's that for? To tell people about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, he's so dangerous. So dangerous. You see, you know, young people, you wouldn't mess around with this stuff if you saw somebody demon-possessed like I've seen. You'd stay away from it. You'd stay away from it if you saw people the way I've seen people. If you've seen the lives ruined that I've seen, you'd stay away from it. There's nothing cool about it. There's nothing. You know, I started to just look up a couple things for the message today, and I got on the internet, and I said, you know what? Phooey on this. And I got off of it immediately because I don't even want to be around that stuff. I don't want to see the pictures. I don't want to see. But some of you have that stuff in your bedrooms. You wouldn't if you got called, if I got called to your house because your bedroom was freezing cold and there was no reason for it and you felt like there was something in there. You know, there might just be something in there. Because there really is a devil. He's very, very dangerous. There's nothing good about him. Nothing. Not a thing. And he's very dangerous. Number three, he's disguised. He's disguised. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He's disguised. You know, here he's a beautiful serpent. A serpent. And you say, oh, preacher, snakes are ugly. No, the serpent was not ugly at first. At first, the serpent was very beautiful. He wasn't a snake until verse 14. It says, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I believe that the serpent was a beautiful animal that had perhaps walked on two legs or maybe four legs, but it was very beautiful. But when this curse took place after the sin, God cursed the serpent, and it became what we know of as a snake. And upon his belly he would live the rest of his life. And that's why we have snakes today. But before that, by the way, you know, one of the great proofs of that is what woman would stand around and talk to a snake? Hello, the serpent was... By the way, if a snake talks, you don't really get excited about that. The serpent was an animal that somehow was able to communicate, and it did not shock Adam and Eve. And somehow this serpent was able to communicate, but the serpent had given its life to Satan to be used against mankind. And it was used by the devil. By the way, isn't it something how something that was beautiful can become so ugly when it's used by the devil? That's what happens to people's lives too. I could show you over and over and over lives used by Satan that's what they are. They're used and they're used up. And I mean, all you have to do is you look at some young person who's been used by the devil, and you can see it in their eyes, and you can see it on their face, and you can see it in their body. The devil has used them up and abused them, and they don't even look like they have a life anymore. Oh, I'm telling you. But Satan is disguised, a beautiful serpent. That's how he came. He's not going to... Look, the devil's not going to come to you and say, I'm the devil and I'm going to kill you. That isn't what he's going to do, because you'll flee. He's going to look good. He's going to come beautiful, just like here. I mean, Adam and Eve. Eve was not shocked. She was not afraid. She was willing to communicate with this animal called a serpent. Notice in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. Go ahead and turn there. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. The Bible says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. By the way, in verse 13, he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. I mean, that goes on in any kind of battle that takes place where people disguise themselves as one of the their enemy just to get inside. Why are we so shocked? Why are we so surprised? No marvel. He said, don't be shocked. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, just like he was with Eve. Disguised. That's why the world wants to have you see him as being gruesome and ugly, because we would flee. But they always, when it comes to sin and sinfulness, they make it look so pretty. They always make it look pretty. Just one example is alcohol. Your beer commercials and everything else, they don't show the family all in pieces scattered over the road because of the drunk driver. They don't show the guy going off to prison. Hello? They don't show that, do they? No, they advertise, boy, you drink this stuff and you'll get all the women. You drink this stuff and boy, you'll have everything going for you. They don't show your liver pickled, do they? Yeah, and you know, you can't live without your liver. But it filters all that garbage, that alcohol, and it tries to filter it out, it becomes destroyed. But they won't tell you about that. Hello? It doesn't matter. The word, you don't expect the devil to come out and say, I am the devil. Because he's not going to do it. And we have bought into this for so long. In reality, most of the rock groups say that they worship the devil. They give the signs of Satan with their hands, which I'm not going to do, but they do. And I see kids all the time doing that kind of stuff because that's their star. And I think, do you understand what you're doing? Do you understand what you're messing with? I remember a couple years ago they had the Battle of the Bands here in town. And everybody was wearing their black. Hello? Boy, they were all gathered all over town, you know, and they got in there and some photographer took a picture and it was on the front page of the paper and there was some of our people. I remember saying something about it and kind of watching people turn a little red. I think, what's wrong with you? People are making signs to Satan. What are you doing? But see, he doesn't say, I'm Satan. He doesn't say, hey, I'm the devil. Ah, I'm going to kill you. He says, come on over here. Come over here. I'm your friend. That's what he always says. Sin always looks good, but the results don't look so good. Amen. He's disguised. Number four, he's deceitful. Devils, in the book of John, Jesus says, ye are of your father, the devil. He's a liar. He's always been a liar. He's the father of lies. He's always going to lie. Satan does not have the ability to tell the truth. In verse 1, he starts out with Eve and he says, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. Verse 4, he said, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He's a liar. He lied to Eve. He twists the scripture. I mean, you know, Satan knows the Bible, but he's not going to give you the truth of the Bible. When he tempted Jesus, after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came to tempt Jesus, he did everything he could to twist the scripture. But you can't twist the scripture when Jesus is the scripture. And so Jesus simply said, well, devil, you might say that, but it is written. It is written. Oh, we have people all over the place today saying, well, it's all up to your interpretation, just whatever your interpretation is. No, it's written. Amen. It's not a private interpretation. It's written. Amen. Here it is. It's written. It's not a matter of you could just say whatever you want. It's not a matter of you could believe whatever you want. It's written. It's written down in the scripture. It's very clear. But see, Satan's deceitful. You cannot expect the truth out of Satan. He lies all the time. He will lie to somebody here today who's not saved. He'll lie to you. He'll tell you, well, you can work your way to heaven. He'll tell you all you have to do is just do good. He won't turn around and tell you that the Bible says that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. He'll just tell you, do good. And when you die, if your good works outweigh your bad works, you'll go to heaven. But you're a good person. He tells unsaved people that there is no hell. He tells unsaved people to wait. Well, just wait. You can get saved later. Have a good time. By the way, I'm saved and I have a good time all the time. And I don't have to worry about what I did. Except yesterday at the teen activity, I did eat a little pizza. I am a little concerned about that. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. He is deceitful. Notice what he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Satan, one thing he loves to do is he makes it so difficult for a person to get saved. He's a master at making it seem so difficult for you to get to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the door." I mean, he wanted to make it very obvious. He wanted to make it very easy. He said, "I'm the bread of life." Let's see, he's a door. What do I need to... I mean, do we all understand doors? What do you have to do? You just open the door and come in. "I'm the bread of life." What do you have to do? You just take him in. "I'm the living water." What do you do? We all know how to get a drink. I mean, honestly, Satan tries to make it so difficult. We have folks all the time. "Well, you know, you Baptists, you tell children they can be saved." I didn't tell them that. Jesus said, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven." Amen. I didn't write it. He did. Well, they can understand how to be saved. You have to realize you're a sinner. You have to realize that because of your sin, there's punishment. You have to realize Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin. He paid the price for you. And you need to accept Him as a gift, a free gift to you. You accept Him. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Satan wants to make that real difficult. You know, he wants to add all kinds of rules and regulations to salvation. There aren't any. And he loves it when churches do that kind of stuff. And he loves it when Christians do that kind of stuff. He loves lordship salvation, where you have to confess and get rid of every sin in your life before you can be saved. Well, he loves it. Hello? But I'm just telling you this. That isn't what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means everybody can be saved, because everybody's a whosoever. Anything that muddies up salvation, just believe Satan's behind it. He's behind it. And you know, he not only is deceitful to the lost to keep them lost, but he lies to Christians too. And his lies to Christians are, it's just hard to believe that we would even believe him. Look, just go to the Word of God. It is in the Scripture. And Satan is always a liar. He is deceitful. Number five, he is divisive. Back to Genesis. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, what is the first... I mean, immediately what happens? Verse 12, "The man said, 'The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat.' The Lord God said unto the woman, 'What is this thou hast done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent beguiled me and I did eat.'" Now, I don't know about you, but in my mind, I'm trying to picture Adam and Eve right after this trying to sit down at the supper table. And Eve says, "How could you blame me?" And Adam says, "Well, you're the one. Well, God made you the leader. Well, I don't care, you." Does that sound like your home? Oh, Satan loves it when couples fight. You know it? He's divisive. Why? Because Matthew 12:25 says, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation." You divide the kingdom, it won't be long, it'll be desolation. I'm thinking of husbands and wives. I'm thinking of friends. I'm thinking of church members. He's very divisive. If you're mad at a church member right now, you got a problem with it. That's not God doing that. Hello? Well, I can't believe they... Well, just understand who's behind it all. All right? He's divisive. And you know, it all started with Adam and Eve are used to, day after day, walking and talking with God. And because of their sin, when God comes to meet with them, they're hiding. And so not only does he divide Christian versus Christian, husband versus wife, parents versus kids, not only does he divide them, but he divides people from their God. They hid from God. I promise you, a crowd this large, there's people right here, you're hiding from God. How sad. Because we shouldn't hide from God. God wants our fellowship. Division makes us weak. homes are a mess today because of right here, because Satan has put a wedge between you, and he's dividing. Churches are weak today because there's so much division in the church because of one thing or another. And you know, again, it's written. It's all written. It's not, well, here's what I think. Well, who cares what we think? It's what does God say? Let's stick with what he says. And there would be no division if we just would all listen to what God says. Period. Amen. Amen. But see, Satan loves to cause division. He loves to divide parents with their kids. He loves to make the young people think that parents don't know anything. Amen. He loves to make young people think the authorities don't know anything. He loves to get everybody thinking that the authorities are the bad guys. I've heard enough from young people about, well, the cop did this and the cop did... The policeman is there to protect you. And if you don't break the law, he's your friend. If you do break the law, he's still your friend. You're just a dummy. Amen. That is how it is. Well, what about the corrupt? Oh, there's so few of that. You just do right and you won't have to worry about it. That's all you need to do. Just do right. Amen. I get so, you know, Satan loves to divide us. He loves to divide. And you know what? If there's division in your home right now, it's Satan's been around. Satan's been around. Just like the title, the devil's come. The devil's come. One way or the other. And you know what? You could keep saying, well, it's my wife. Well, it's my husband. Well, it's the kids. Well, it's... And why not look him straight in the eye and say, Satan, out. We're going to start doing what God says. I've counseled so many couples, it is unbelievable how many couples I've counseled. And ultimately, it's a matter of just saying, okay, let's get back to doing what God says. Amen. But inevitably, well, she, well, he, well, they. And Satan's right behind all that. Number six, he's destructive. He's destructive. First family, one son kills the other one. His influence is seen. It's no wonder in Revelation, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. The devil's come down. First family, murder. First family. I'm not talking about down the line. I'm talking about the first family. Cain kills Abel. Destruction, divorce, suicide, drugs, immorality. You know, AIDS isn't an accident. Amen. It's not an accident. It's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. I'm not even thinking. I'm not worried about AIDS. Except the only thing that concerns me is mosquitoes. But I'm not even that concerned about that. But I'm just living the right life. You know, sexual transmitted diseases. Don't think a whole lot about it. Well, there's an epidemic. Not among people doing right. It's not an epidemic among people doing right. Hello? Honestly. But see, he's destructive. And we've got this idea that, it's just a matter of time, and they'll figure it all out. No, it's a matter of time, and we'll be wiped out. Number seven, he's deadly. James 1:15, the Bible says, sin bringeth forth death. He's deadly. It's no wonder those involved in Satanism are preoccupied with death. The demon-possessed man in the Bible that called himself Legion because he had many demons in him, he was living in a cemetery. It's no wonder, because he is deadly. Death is his theme. By the way, there's nothing good about death. Now, for the Christian, death means going to heaven, but I would just as soon avoid that as long as possible. I mean, I like living. I want to do something for God. Amen. Deadly. The devil. And, you know, my question to Berean Baptist Church, what are we doing about it? What are we doing about his deadly way? I mean, lost people all around us are going to hell. What are we doing about it? We need to keep doing it. We need to keep busy. We need to keep telling people about Jesus. We need to keep preaching the truth to our young people. Brother Caleb Engel needs to keep telling them that the devil, all he wants out of your relationships, out of your life, out of everything, he just wants death to follow you everywhere you go. He is deadly. But praise God, the last thing, number eight, is he is defeated. Because it says in Genesis 3 and verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that's talking about Jesus coming to die on the cross. Verse 14, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. By the way, you'll notice he didn't argue. There were no excuses. Adam said, well, it's a woman's fault. The woman said, well, it's a serpent's fault. The serpent said nothing. The curse was on the serpent in verse 14 to crawl on its belly the rest of its days and to eat dust the rest of its existence. And the curse was on Satan that, okay, you're going to bruise his heel on the cross, but he's going to crush your head. You know, Satan is defeated. That's why, again, okay, Anton LaVey and all your people, by the way, he's met Satan face to face. I guarantee if he could do it all over again, now that he's been in hell for a while, I guarantee he would do it a whole lot different. And let me just say this. You say, well, you know, I'm kind of leaning toward being an atheist. Well, I can tell you this much. There aren't any atheists in hell. You say, I thought you believe all of them go. No, because once they're there, they believe. They believe then. I guarantee they believe then. No way. In hell, anybody is not going to believe once they're there. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he defeated Satan. He defeated him. I like the story. An old deacon one time, he was praying, and as he prayed several times, he said, oh God, clean the cobwebs out of my life, and God, get the cobwebs of sin out of my life. And all of a sudden another deacon jumped in and started praying and said, Lord, don't do that. Kill the spider. Amen. You know, one of these days he's going down. He is going down. I'm telling you, you know, these guys, we worship Satan. All right. Well, you need to understand that's you're on the wrong team because you're losing. And I'm not going to glory in it at the sake of human beings. I'm still going to try to win human beings. But I'll tell you what, I want to get a kick in as he's cast into the lake of fire. He is defeated. Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. You know, if you're not saved today, you give Satan a victory. You give him one more victory. But the fact is, you're the one that's going to suffer for it. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He paid for your sins completely so you could be saved and go to heaven someday. I would encourage you to get saved today and defeat Satan. Defeat Satan. Every time somebody gets saved, I think, wow, Satan's been defeated again. Praise God. Praise God. If you're here today and you're not saved, I beg you to get saved. Not for Pastor Rogers, not for Berean Baptist Church, but because for you, first of all, so you can get saved, and for the Lord Jesus Christ who loves you, who died for you so you could be saved. And Christian, let me tell you something. It's time for you to quit messing around with the devil. Some of you teenagers, I'll tell you what, you're messing around with stuff that is so dangerous, you are going to ruin your life. I could tell you story after story after story. I don't have time to get into it right now, but you want to come and see me, I'll tell you all about Satan. I would not, you know, don't give him victories. Fight him. I mean, if you're here as a Christian and you don't pray, shame on you. If you're here as a Christian, you don't read your Bible, who's getting the victory in your life? Don't give it to Satan. Satan is the enemy. He is the adversary. He is seeking whom he may devour. But I tell you this, the devil is come. He is come. He's come. And you know what? You can bury your head in the sand and kind of think, oh, well, you know, this is all fun and games and demonic things, the occult. Ha, 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 ha. I don't follow any of that stuff. I think it's all just funny and everything. It's not funny. It's not funny. I guarantee in a crowd this large, there are several people right here, right now, if they were to take off their coats or sweaters and they were to roll up their sleeves, if you looked at their arms, they'd have cut marks on their arms. Right here. Berean Baptist Church, independent, fundamental Baptist church. And there would be cut marks on their arms. Up here, they've got them hidden most of the time, but they're little slices on their arms where they let the blood drip down on their arms. Maybe it's on their legs, maybe because nobody else can see that, and they've cut their legs with a razor blade and let it bleed. You say, well, preacher, come on. There's nothing wrong. That is as satanic as anything anybody can do. And he's lied to you. He has lied to you. Oh, right here, right in this congregation, I'm not talking about young girls, I'm talking about some older women. I promise you this. You'll look in the mirror in the morning and you look and you say, I'm too fat. And so you'll eat and then you'll puke up what you ate. What is that? It's killing you. Well, who would want you dead? Satan. And it doesn't matter how much weight you've lost. It doesn't matter. You can be like a little bean pole, but you'll look in that mirror and you'll be convinced, I'm still too heavy. And you'll do it again and again and again, and it won't be long and you'll be dead. There's people in this room. You've thought about it. You've contemplated. It's gone through your mind. You know what? I'd be better off dead. Where's that come from? That doesn't come from God. That does not come from God. You've thought about it. You've contemplated it. You've even had the blade out and you put it down here on your wrist. And you've seen enough movies to see how to do it. You got it all figured out, right? Except for one thing. Why? Well, preacher, you don't understand my pain. Jesus will take your pain. Amen. You don't understand my sorrow. Jesus will give you joy. You don't understand what I'm going through. No, listen to me. You don't understand. Satan has lied to you. But preacher, every morning I look in the mirror and I just think I'm worthless. I'm no good. Listen to me. Jesus Christ died on a cross and shed his blood for you because he loves you. You are priceless to him. You are priceless to Jesus. I don't care who you are. Don't care how bad you've been. Don't care where you've been, what you've done. It does not matter. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you with all his heart. He gave himself so you could be saved. Why would you listen to the lies of Satan? You need to just turn to Jesus. You need to turn to Jesus. He'll never have you cut yourself. He'll never have you hurt yourself. He'll never have you do anything to yourself. He wants you alive and serving him with joy and gladness like no person could even begin to describe. It's called a peace that passes all understanding. That's what he wants for you. It's up to you. There's people in this room, you're blaming God for everything that's gone wrong in your life, and yet it's been decisions you made for Satan. It's never been one you made for God. It's time you turn to Jesus and turn away from Satan who hates your guts. Let's bow our heads, please.